Okay. We'll stay in a word of prayer and we'll jump right into this on tonight. Father, y'all, we just bless your name as always. And we glorify you for who you are. And we thank you for your presence. And we just, on a daily basis, we seek wisdom and understanding. And we thank you for all that you give us. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. One of the things, I'm going to just click down on it here. Right quick. Okay. One of the, what I like to do is I like to discuss things as the Spirit of God leads me to, things that's happening, in today's time frame, so that, you know, you can be prepared and to understand as these things have to be dealt with. You face these things on a daily basis. And, there are a lot of things going on in our city. And, you know, I had a conversation on today. And I was asked a question, and then at the same time, there's a lot of things going on from the question that I was asked. And I'm being very careful even now, you know, just allowing the Spirit of Yah to wade me through the waters that's necessary to bring about an understanding of what we're getting ready to discuss. And I'll just kind of explain some things leading up to the question. You know, a few weeks ago, I don't know how long ago, we had a young man that was shot by a Dallas police officer, and you know, there are a lot of things going on. You know, from at least a little bit, I do understand very little because I haven't been keeping up with it. You know, with the detail, I think that maybe a lot of people have. So, from what I'm understanding, she thought that she was entering into her apartment, and you know, supposedly seeing a silhouette. I think it was a burglar or something like that, and she ended up shooting the individual. Well, there's been an uproar since then, and from the information that I have, there have been protests that's been going on approximately 3 times per week in reference to the shooting. Some other things, but you know, it kind of brought it up to the head, or to a head, to where it is now at least. And so again, there were some things that I was asked, and at the same time, I answered those questions according to what I understand in reference to the scriptures. And you're going to have to operate according to the scriptures, okay, in handling this situation. I don't know if you heard about one of the Cowboy games. I think it was the first game of the season when the Cowboys played at Cowboy Stadium, that there were people who were protesting and they had caskets out there. Did y'all hear about that? Well, okay. Yeah, they even had it on the news. Well, there is a well-known pastor, I can call his name, but God has given me a liberty to call out his name, but I'm not because, I don't have all of my information as far as my ducks in the road start, you know, saying names and stuff like that. So I'll just say a well-known pastor for the sake of integrity and giving him the benefit of the doubt, you know. But there's a well-known pastor who, from what I understand, is from a pretty credible source, that he is spearheading these events. That event that happened at Cowboy Stadium, you know, there were people that were arrested because, you know, Arlington Police Department they're not putting up with any kind of thing that seemed to bring conflict to their city on those lines, so to speak, especially, you know, since this happened in Dallas, I guess. I was informed that Dallas has been a little bit more patient for what's been going on from these groups. But, you know, again, you know, I guess all of the police department is that, you know, we don't have, you know, we didn't have anything to do with this, so we're not going to let you come to our city with these protests. So they arrested people, I think, from what I'm understanding, about 9 people.
And yeah, because they were blocking traffic, and they had asked them to stop blocking traffic.
Right. And so, and that's a part of that I was even going to get to about here. And so there were certain things that they were doing that was breaking the law, okay? And from that, these people were put in jail, and then they started saying, well, they was in jail longer than the officer who did the shooting was in jail, so to speak. And you know, so that's another thing that was brought up. And like I said, there's a whole lot of things going on. Well, I sit on the advisory committee for the Southeast Division, Dallas Police Department, representing the community. And when our issues are going on in the community, then we'll discuss it. I'll take those issues to in those meetings, and we'll try to see what remedy we can come up with in order to, you know, to resolve these things. Well, the question that was asked to me is, because the same thing happened here in Dallas, whereas from what I'm hearing, I'm trying to make sure I got my information correctly from what I heard in the conversation for today. Well, apparently, these people have shut down Interstate 30. I don't know if it was that one to the Cowboys game, but from what I'm thinking, it wasn't. It was, they were driving, got out of their cars on Interstate 30 and shut down the street.
I think it was here. There was
okay.
A bit of
well, you confirmed. You confirmed. You confirmed it because I was 90% sure from what was told me. So from you saying that, I'm sure that's what I was told. And so the question that was asked to me was, okay, it was an embarrassment to this individual because he said in a nutshell that what, in other words, two wrongs, don't say it that way, two wrongs don't make a right. In other words, okay, this happened, there, you know, from what I'm understanding, the officer has been fired. But what has to be understood is that there are still processes to everything. Now, from what I'm understanding, at least at this point, from just, you know, very little research that I've done, is that there are certain wording in certain documents concerning the officer that gives the impression that, you know, it's not going in the direction that folks don't like because of the initial investigation and the way that things are being worded. It's coming across as not being as serious as what it really is, just from some of the information that I've gathered. And so people are concerned about that. they're concerned about that. And at the same time, the question that was asked to me was, okay, things still have to happen as far as the as a process is concerned. And we know when you deal with the system, and we know that the shady record that, you know, the police department has in reference to how they treat their own and different things like that. So there are a lot of issues that's going on, whereas me, who is someone who can stand in the gap and look on both sides and see both sides clearly, I understand the issues that both sides are having. But at the same time, my concern is this, and I run into this, or have heard, I have run into this a lot, whereas you get certain people who are on the side of the law will use that law as long as that law is not, as long as that law is convenient. And what I mean by that, the law is in place when civilians do wrong, but at the same time, the law is not in place when people who are in a position to force that law from all appearances seem to break that law. And so I have a cliche that says, any law that is unjust in any manner is an unjust law. It's not a law at all. If you make a law and the law shows partiality on either side, see, I'm standing in the gap, but to be clear, if there's a law that's in place that shows partiality to the police department, then that's an unjust law. If there's a law that's put in place that shows partiality to civilians, then that is an unjust law. So any law that is unjust is not a law. Okay? It's a man-made principle that is the opposite of the oracles of the Most High Yah. Because as we look at the scriptures point out that the law is put in place to, and you all know we've dealt with this before, that laws are put in place that says obey those that have rule over you. Okay, we'll just start out there, okay? Hebrews 13, I believe 13 is saying, let's see. No, that's not where I want to be. That is one, but that's not where I want to be. So y'all just kind of bear with me a little bit. We just gonna take our time and walk this dog, so to speak. First Timothy 9, I believe that's where it is. Let me see. Oh, you may have to help me on this one. I think it's, yeah, I'm looking at that one now. We dealt with this before where it talks about the law basically being put in place for the ungodly. And it talks about I think servants obey them that have rule over you. Servants obey your master and things like that. So we just want to.
Click up.
What?
Click up on the app.
Yeah. I can't remember. It may be 1 Timothy 1. It's just that I maybe just going fast and overlooking it. But I'll continue on it when you find it. You know, when you find it. And so, in a nutshell, what God has given me the wisdom to do is to not take sides of people, but to take sides of truth. And a lot of times we as preachers, if we're not careful, we can get caught up into allowing people to lead us instead of us leading the people. In other words, sometimes leaders can find themselves being led instead of standing up being the leader that they should be. Okay?
What was the specific scripture?
Where it talks about the law that's put in place for the ungodly. It talks about the law being put in place for the ungodly. And it's something like, I think the word terror may be in it. But it's concerning the ungodly, that laws are put in place for the ungodly. And I can't think of where it is. Because it just came to mind as I'm dealing with it here. But we'll find it. And so, what's very important is that when you look at these laws, what the police department has to make sure that it does is not use loopholes in the law when it's convenient. And then at the same time, take that same law and allow it to be the judge to put someone else in their rightful place under the same condition. A law that is put in place has to be a law that is for righteousness in certain faith, and it's the judge, the ungodly, regardless if they were a badge or if they are a civilian. That's righteousness. And so when we find ourselves doing it any other way, then that's wickedness. Okay? Now, I said it to say this. I don't know the detail of the case. I don't know the detail of the situation. So because I don't know,
I'm reading 1 Timothy 1:9.
It starts out in verse 1.
Yeah, but verse 9?
Yeah, I read verse 9.
So that's not it?
No, because it says, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. It could be for the ungodly and for sinners and unholy. Let's see.
Are you merging two scriptures? So
I probably am. I might be.
Hebrews 13, where it talks about.
And I looked at that one too. I think I have version of two. So let me just pull them both up, because I did look at both of them, and both of them were saying what I had, and I did look at. You said 13 in who? Hebrews. Did you say Hebrews 13?
Yeah, it's starting at verse 13 or something.
Okay.
Verse 7, sorry.
Okay. I may be merging the two. That's what I may be doing, because I'm thinking about those. And you're correct, Janice. It may be 1 Timothy 1 and 9. So we'll go to 1 Timothy 1, and we'll do I just want to look at verse 9? I think it is that, Pat. So we'll start at verse 8. Or let's go back up. This is not it. It's really, y'all keep holding me up. It's not it. Now, which one was the one that you found for me?
Hebrews
13 and 7.
Yeah.
Y'all just bear with me. You know, this is the way we do Bible study here on Young Girl. We deliver to you. 13:7. Fine, obey them that have rule over you.
It's in the same thing.
Is it where?
Like,
verse 17. Okay. Find the one that says, servants, obey your master.
Okay.
I just want to look at all of them before we move on. Because it's important. And y'all just bear with me. You know, this is what happens when you're getting straight off the press. Colossians 3:22. Let me just look at my 3:22. Because that's the one that's closest to. Referring to the same concept. because when you talk about the law, it says here of the law. But it lets you know that this commandment here is a mandate that's in harmony with the law. So that's why when I say commandments, I say law, because they're kind of intertwined, because you can't have a mandate without having the law. So as you look at it, it's designed to verse 7, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. We're in the position now where there are people who are in the position of authority, but yet they don't know how to, they don't understand the laws by which they force. Because the reason why I say understanding is because a person who has understanding, it goes back up to verse 5. Pure heart. Okay? Love out of a pure heart. A person who operates in love, charity, a person who operates in charity or love out of a pure heart is somebody who don't understand the law. And so I can know that the sign says stop, but my understanding is not from a love and a pure heart perspective of obeying that stop sign and not breaking the law, because I don't want to, somebody could be crossing the street, okay? Somebody could be walking across that stop sign, and if I don't stop to obey that law, then my understanding of it is not there, because I know that it's a stop sign, but my understanding from a pure heart perspective is not there. That's why it's easy for people to break that law. They know what it means. But there's something going on with an individual's heart, that will make them break the law, although they claim that they know it or understand it. But when you look at it from a pure heart perspective, Yah says what you understand, you implement. I can know it's a stop sign, but if I run it, it's because I have no understanding. Because the understanding has a bigger picture than just stopping it being inconvenient. That stop sign is there to keep me from, again, hitting another car. They could have right away somebody, you know, elderly woman or elderly man across the street, that don't stop, a child, you know, anything that's going on. So because my heart is not pure from a love perspective, I run that stop sign, putting other people's lives in jeopardy, but at the same time, I'll tell a person, I know it said stop, man. I just don't feel like stopping, man. Wasn't nobody there anyhow. Well, the way that the scripture gives us an understanding of itself is that when we operate in understanding, it's not that we can quote it, it's when we put that law into action, when it's operating in our lives on a daily basis, then we have understanding. So when you look at verse 7, it's talking about the law, but it's going to teach us the principle even in discussion, even in our discussion tonight. It says, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now, when you look at the word affirm here, it means to confirm. Affirm constantly. In other words, to make this clearer, it says designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they confirm. In other words, they're not able to show confirmation on it because they don't operate according to what they say. So now when I stand in the middle of the road now and I look on both sides of the fence, I said, look, no one can take a law now and only use it when it's convenient for them. That law has to be put in place and it has to be dealt with from a perspective of love and a pure heart. So if I operate in love and a pure heart, it don't matter if I'm a police officer. I'm still going to operate in love and a pure heart. It don't matter if I'm a citizen. I'm going to operate the law according to what love is and a pure heart. When that don't take place, then you have people who use laws when it's convenient, which is mostly your judicial system today and everything that has laws in place that forces you to obey those laws as long as it's convenient for them. Thus, when I say a law that is unjust on either side is not a law at all, because Yah points out to us that every commandment that he put in place for us to obey is a law that is just straight down the middle. It don't show favoritism to me. It don't show favoritism to you. It don't show favoritism to anybody involved. It is just a law that stands for truth, regardless of who we are. And if we're operating from a perspective of pure heart and love for the word or that law that's put in place, then we're going to do exactly what it says. So what we have here is from what I've been told, two sides that are looking for justification based upon their own lack of understanding of law. Because on one hand, you have things being dealt with differently, and I don't know the details of the case, but just going by what I have heard thus far. So on one hand, you have things operating from an unrighteous point of view, or let's stick with the word, from a lack of love and a pure heart perspective, because it allows an individual to do something that under normal circumstances, if that was a citizen, they wouldn't allow that to take place. That's unjust law. That's somebody who is not operating in love and from a pure heart perspective. Now, on the other hand, you're having people who, because these things have happened this way, that they're saying, we want justice, we want it swift, we want it fast, we want it done right now. Well, when you stand according to the law, everything has to be done in a due process. But that due process has to be equal and from a love and a pure perspective on both sides. We can't now put on quick kid gloves because certain people do certain things. And on the other hand, we can't turn around and feel like we have a right to break a law all because we feel like somebody else has broken one. And so these are things that's going on, you know, in our community or in our city on today. You have all of these people who are who feel that they're justified in their own eyes, and all of them are operating according to a lack of love and a pure heart. And it just takes someone who is led by the Spirit of God enough to stand back and say, wait a minute, let me show both of you the problem with what's going on here. You as a well-known pastor, you think you have a right to get attention and you want justice, and so you stop traffic and don't realize you're putting in jeopardy lives of probably thousands of people behind you. Mm-hmm. Because people are coming down the road and they don't know you stop traffic. And you can cause wrecks miles and miles away. And you can cause people to start getting impatient. And they can start getting in an argument. And all these other things can happen. But you think because you're doing something that you're seeing is right in your own eyes, that you're not taking a clear look from a love and a pure heart perspective and say, I don't need to be stopping these traffic because I'm inconveniencing the lives of other people. So you have two groups that is doing what is convenient for them. One of the things that I don't like about what police officers do is that a law is only enforceable when it's us. But they feel like they can turn around and break that same law. You know, there's a close friend of mine, again, not calling out name, close friend of mine who's having some issues with a family member. Family member happened to be a police officer, and the family member felt like he could just go and break in her barn and start taking tools out of her barn just because he was a police officer. And when she called the police, he was like, I don't care because I am the police. See, that is a lack of love a lack of a pure heart to the point to where you can take a commandment and put it in force against a citizen, but then it doesn't apply to you because you, I can break in something because I'm the police. That's the kind of world we live in. And when people start looking to God and standing from a charity, verse 5, now the end of the commandment or the end of every law is charity and a pure heart. If I don't approach a law and look at that law with charity, with love and a pure heart, then I'm going to operate in wickedness when it comes down the law. I'm going to only do that law when it's convenient for me, and I'm going to put that law in place when it's convenient for me. I'm going to put it in place when it's convenient. I'm not going to put it in place when it's inconvenient for me, but I'm going to make sure everyone else follow it to the T because that is convenient for me. And that's what's going on in the world today. There are unrighteous people, or let's say it from the way the scripture is putting it, there are people who don't have love and don't have a pure heart that is enforcing law. And there are people who don't walk in love and don't have a pure heart that's trying to force them to activate the law. So you have wickedness on both sides trying to come together, and guess what? Ain't nothing going to get done because two wrongs sure ain't going to make no right. And then people wonder why I just step back and I don't get involved in that. Because when I step in the middle of the road, ain't nobody going to like what I got to say. See, if this was a town hall meeting right now, I would have police officers mad at me and I have citizens mad at me because I'm exposing the fact that somebody in the room is not walking in love and a pure heart. Because if it was, we would be just enforcing the law. Because the law is just. The law is right. The law is put in place to deal with wickedness. So if wickedness is not being dealt with, then that's not a legitimate law. It's not a law from Yah. So that's why as you continue on and you look at the verse, remember, if you have something, you know, you're always welcome. That's why verse 7 says, designed to be teachers. You have people who desire to force the law but have no understanding. On both sides, you have police officers who desire to enforce the law, they have no understanding. Then there are citizens who desire that the law be enforced, they have no understanding. So all this lack of understanding is going on, and nothing is getting done, and it's going to come to a powder keg, and it's a powder keg that is going to explode, and ain't nothing but bad going to come out of this thing because you got all this wrong trying to come together to get what they want. It's never going to happen. Because the only thing that's going to get what everybody wants is a pure heart walking in love to do what's right. You got people involved who don't want that.
But isn't that happening even on the national, I guess the national stage too?
Yes, it is.
So they're not walking. Neither side is trying to give an inch.
Nobody's giving an inch. Everybody. You can check all social media out. You can look at everything across the board. Y'all, I have to be careful because when I get to zeal like this, sometimes I say stuff that's kind of out there and wild. So I'm trying to hold my mule, so to speak, and not let my passion get in the way and say things in front of babies and stuff like that. And so it's certain things I won't say because it's babies that listen. But we have to be very, very careful. You got all these people. Everybody, social media, all these folks are having, I'm just going to say, all these folks are trying to have their own pen party. Everybody want to piss on something. And nothing is getting done because people don't like to get peed on. And so everybody's peeing on them with their own idea and how they see it and how they want to do it. And nothing gets done because nobody's operating from a pure heart perspective and nobody's walking in love. Everybody's operating in selfishness and unrighteousness and in wickedness. And they use these events to show what kind of messed up mind they have in the first place. And it's amazing, these white folks, black folks, all kind of race folk, they amaze me with the mindset they have, and they don't see things from a love and pure heart perspective. It's only how I see it.
I think it ties into even what we dealt with on Sabbath worship from the perspective of the topic that we talked about, doing what's the greater good versus doing what's best for me kind of deal. And I think, unfortunately, the mindset that's out there that's very prevalent is everybody does stuff from the perspective of what's best for me. Mm-hmm. I never take off that hat and, I'm not saying me personally, but from the perspective of I never take off that hat and look at what's best for everybody. So anything, any social event, any thing that's out there, I'm going to jump into it with an agenda of what's best for me. And I think what we talk about even on the other side is sometimes what's the greater good is best for everybody may be detrimental to me. Mm-hmm. But it's what's best for everybody. Mm-hmm. But nobody is willing to take that stance of everything is about me winning. Mm-hmm. So I can never take a stance on something that's for the greater good of everybody if I'm losing. Mm-hmm. And that's the unfortunate state of how things are. The reality is somebody got to lose. Mm-hmm. But it's like everybody got to come together with the mindset of what you're saying, of a pure heart, to say, okay, what's best for everybody? Mm-hmm. And I may lose this, but if it's what's best for everybody, then that may be what we need to do. Mm-hmm. But
walking to Cowboy Stadium is not what's best for everybody.
Right. Right.
Going out there with caskets is not what's best for everybody. Stopping up Interstate 30 is not what's best for everybody. On the other hand, treating something from a perspective of not being transparent as far as the officers are concerned and handling things according to from a pure heart and what's best for everybody is not handled right. None of it is being handled right, and so you got, again, this war that's brewing, and it's coming to a head, and it's going to continue to come to a head until it explodes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I know this word is a little bit strong, but I have to say it this way, is because everybody having this peeing party, and they just want to pee on everybody else. And I know some people may not like it, but you know, you know, if somebody hear this, they ain't gotta listen to it. It's just me. What you get is what you get. And so here's what's vitally important. We have to operate in righteousness. I'm not on the police officer side. I'm not on the citizen side. I'm on God's side. I'm on Yah's side. And I'm only going to see it the way that he sees it. And if it's not love and a pure heart associated with it, then people are not seeing it the way he sees it. What the scripture says. So verse 7 again, if you had anything else. Verse 7 again says, designed to be teachers of the law. You have people who are designed. Now, when you look at the word teachers in verse 7, it says teachers of the law. So when you look at expounders, it talks about our law, but at the same time, you expand that and you look at it from a perspective of law. We know that it's the law of the kingdom of Yah first, and everything that Yah has put in place in this land, it should extend from his law. It's amazing how they go to the law and get it, pick out what they want and leave what they don't want.
It ain't about what's best for
him. Ooh, I'm going to go get that one out of there and put that into our law. Oh, but no, I don't want this one right here. I'm going to leave that one alone. That's be done away with. Mm-hmm. But what the scripture says, verse 8, but we know that the law is good if any man use it lawfully. Every law is good if it's used lawfully. Mm-hmm. The problem is you have people who don't walk in love and people who don't have a pure heart that's enforcing law. It's a problem. We know when we talk about the Yah, the Most High God, who has put laws of this land in place to govern good. But we know that the law is good if any man uses it lawfully. The stop sign is good if I use it lawfully. It's no good if I'm going to run everyone I come into contact with. The law is good if we don't stop traffic on Interstate 30. If we use it lawfully, but the law is bad if you think you got a right to protest and you can just stop anywhere and do it. On the other hand, the law is good if we do it lawfully, police officers, but if you want to take that law and use it only when it's convenient for you, and you have this code of conduct that's only between you, and you don't operate from a love and pure heart perspective from the folks that you're supposed to protect and serve, then that law ain't talking about you. Whether you're the one who stopped the traffic on Interstate 30 or the one who now used the law when it's convenient for you to use as a police officer, you're now not operating according to it lawfully, so it ain't good for you. It was put in place to stop people like you. Because the laws in itself are good. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's just that people who are enforcing the laws and people who are using sides to, of the other laws as far as the civilians are concerned to break them, that's what makes it wickedness. The laws are good. The people are wicked. The people don't walk in love. The people don't walk in a pure heart. And so everything has a motivation associated to it. See, I'm just trained enough not to care about my own reputation, so I just tell it like it is, and I don't care who's sitting on each side of the fence. I just stand on it and preach truth. So verse 8 said, but we know that the law is good if any man use it lawfully in the thought, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. That stop sign not made for me. Made for the one who don't want to do right and the one who disobedient. So that law is put in place to keep an officer from just shooting somebody and they're not supposed to. That law is put in place to keep a civilian from shooting somebody when they're not supposed to. They're in place for these things. You have something else?
Yeah, I mean, even from the perspective of a stop sign, anybody with any sense or care for human life, when they come to an intersection, well, no, I need to slow down because I ain't trying to kill nobody.
I don't need to stop.
But the nut that is like, I don't care. I'm driving. I don't care who else is driving. I ain't slowing down. That's what the stop sign is for. Because he ain't going to use no caution whatsoever because he don't care about what's going on with nobody else.
I come to a four-way intersection. I don't need no stop sign. I don't need no yield sign or nothing. I'm going to stop and look both ways because I operate in lawfully. Like I said, you don't have to tell me to stop at a stop sign when I see that intersection has something there. You don't have to put nothing there. People with a pure heart and walking love for mankind is going to be like, you know what, I'll stop right here and let them go by. And all the one who's lawless, if you don't put nothing there, they're going to just keep going through their whole destiny, inconveniencing everybody but themselves. So laws are not put in place for people who want to do right. They're put in place for wicked folks. What the scripture says? Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for a lawless and disobedient, and for the ungodly, and for sinners, and for unholy, and profane, for murderers and fathers, and murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind and men-stealers, for liars, for perjurer persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, any other thing that's contrary to what that extends or extends from the boundaries of charity and love, that's not sound. I mean, look at the law. The law is put in place. And the law, everything to it is sound doctrine. It is something that you can apply and everybody should be able to live by it. But when it starts to be inconvenient or convenient for one side or another, that's an unjust law. That law is being torn apart by wicked and unrighteous people. Now, again, I stress, I don't know the detail of the case. I'm not trying to figure it out, but I do know the books. And I will tell it the way that the book says it's supposed to be, without even knowing detail of anything that's going on in the city. I know what the book said, and when I stand on the book, I know the book speaks truth. And everybody who has a love and throw off of God is going to say amen. Whether they're a police officer or a citizen. Because truth don't need no help. It stands all by itself.
What does it mean when they say bend the law?
Same thing.
When I have heard lawyers and judges say the law can be bent.
Yeah. So any time. So I'll put it this way. I would love to hear what I'm saying in front of me. I said, law can be bent. I said, okay, give me your own. Let me see you like it when I bend it. If it can be bent and you can still see charity, love, and permanence, bend it. But when you bend it, and it like Ella said, when you bend it and it becomes convenient for somebody, and inconvenient for somebody else, that's wickedness. So when you say you can bend the law, what you're really saying is I can do it and twist it and turn it in a way to where it's convenient for me, but it inconveniences you. That unrighteousness. What the scripture said, a little leaven, little bend. A little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. So if you bend the law a little bit, then the whole law is bent. See when you operate in righteousness, you can see clear. So when they say these things, you look at them from a pure heart and a love of God point of view and say, nah, if you bend it, you just add a little bit to that law. You took it and you tainted it because the law wasn't bent before you put your hands on it. It was straight and narrow. It was right for everybody that operates, but you came in here and bent it. Now, it convenienced you, but it inconvenienced somebody else. If you bent it and it's convenient for everybody straight from this point on, it's a righteous law. But if you bent it and it's only good for you, it's unrighteous. It's leaven. It's a little sin, a little bending. Now, the whole thing is bent. Now, everybody's bending the law, and that's why it ain't what it's supposed to be to this very day. Because everybody going in the court bending it, twisting it and turning it.
Man, being out of shape.
Being out of shape, man. And that thing ain't going to get back right until the righteousness of the law is revealed to mankind again when he returns. I'm the fire. He the only one going to straighten out all laws. Because he's going to put the laws of our Yah in place when he returns. That's what's going on. So you have all these things that's taking place. And that's the reason why I don't jump through these hoops. And that disappoints a lot of people because people have a tendency to think that if you don't see things how they see it, then there's something wrong with you. I'm fine with people not seeing things how I see it. I have no problem with that. But what I tell them is that if we want to follow that which is true, then let's try to come to a common ground. If you just want to say I disagree with you but have no evidence to show why you disagree, you just want to disagree, then you're about you. When I put information out there, I'm putting information out there to bring an understanding. If you're not putting the information out there to contradict mine, but it's designed to bring all of us into understanding, and all you're doing is just operating in wickedness. I ain't got time for it. That's why I tell people sometimes, look, man, if you ain't got nothing good to say or something that's going to bring me into a better understanding or everybody else into a better understanding, stay off my page. That's why I say things like that. Because I'm serious about truth. And I may not have the truth. If you have it, then show it. Let's all look at it and come to one common mind. Because truth is always important to me. And if you're sure that I'm not telling the truth, then show me the truth. I'll change. When I see truth, I adjust. I've adjusted a whole lot these years because I've come into understanding of the truth. Okay? And so these are the things that's vitally important for us to understand. Y'all don't get caught up into these things that's going on. Here's what you get caught up into. You get caught up in the truth. And when someone approach you and ask for you to take a stand for something, if it ain't got truth connected to it, run away from it as fast as you can. I don't care if they blue. I don't care if they're black, I don't care if they're white, I don't care what color they are. I'm going to stand on truth. And if you blue, if you white, if you black, if there's truth associated with you, I will stand with you. But when it comes down to wickedness and foolishness, a whole bunch of stuff, they don't show nothing. But again, that thin party, everybody peeing on each other, I ain't got time, man. You know, I peed on myself when I was a little boy, and I didn't like it. So I don't show when nobody else peeing on me. Y'all excuse me for that language, but I'm just out there, so.
And just a comment, and it's not going to do anything but get worse.
It's not.
Things are going to get more and more divisive, and just know that those factions will try to suck you in as the days go forward.
That's all they do. You have to be wise. That's why I tell you, when you see these things going on, and you don't see y'all in the middle of it, you let everybody see your backside. You be running as far away from it as you can. That's why I tell my girls all the time, if you see a fight, watch it on the news. Don't watch it in person. Turn around and run the other way. It amazes me how many people run two fights. I be like, man, let me go another direction because somebody finna get in a whole bunch of stuff. They ain't got no business. And if any stuff go down, I'm going to be watching the news and say, man, I was there. I was going in rain. See me, that's me running right up, man. They ain't scared. Just they ain't got time to be caught in no foolishness.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a scripture. I think it was Jacob. Was it Jacob that went to said to God, "Do you be for us or against us?"
Yeah.
He said, "Neither."
I ain't for against. I'm with the armies of God. I'm for the armies of God, boy. So you better get on his side. I'm not fighting for you, and I'm not fighting for your enemies. I'm fighting for y'all. You know, so that's how we have to operate. So, you know, that was the point out. Be very wise. Don't let the, you know, I have a lot of leaders that call me to try to get me involved in their cause. You know, I remember when that event happened in McKinney about them kids and stuff, and they was, you know, dragging a little girl around police officers. I had preachers try to get me involved in that. I was like, hey, about them. Ain't going down there. If we get righteousness involved, I'll vote. But I'm not going down there for no foolishness. If y'all go before me, I'll go. I mean, you ain't seen me at no protest, no nothing. But when righteousness, when it's time for righteousness, I'll be first in line. But I guarantee you, when I finish, both sides ain't going to like what I got to say. Because I ain't on nobody's side. I'm on God's side. Okay? And I want to encourage you to do the same way. Be willing. That's why I always say this, to make that statement. I'm willing to stand for Yah if I have to stand all by myself. When you make up your mind to do that, then you'll see clearly and you'll be able to stand in the gap and say what does say Yah instead of saying, you know, you got preachers saying what the community like to hear. All they're trying to do is grow their churches. They got motives. Everybody got motives. Everybody, police officers looking for promotions. So they don't want to rock the boat because they don't want to lose their job. All this other stuff going on. Everybody looking out for themselves. Why don't we just look out for truth? Who's on the Lord's side? Like Ella said, it ain't going to get no better. So it's just best for us to be prepared to continue to walk in righteousness and stand for him wherever he wants to stand.
Because standing for truth comes at a cost that most people don't want to pay.
There you go.
I mean, it's one of those things, it's one of those crosses you have to bear, so to speak. It's like, okay, either you're going to stand for truth or you're not, but if you do, like you said, both sides ain't going to like you.
Right. Truth is a lonely lane to run in. Because not many be that walk in it. That's all I have. Any other questions, comments? Good. You know, so y'all, you know, I just want to encourage you, be wise. let things take its course, because it is. Whatever happens, don't be surprised. Whatever happens, don't be surprised. Okay? Just see things for the truth that it is, and we know whatever happens, whether negative or positive, it will be based upon whether people have a pure heart and walk in love or not. Alright? Alright, Father, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for just this opportunity to get into your word and to walk in understanding of it. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth, as always. And we declare that we're gonna stand and be on your side. We're not looking to find the favor of men, but we need the favor of you, God. And from that, you will give us favor with man. All those who walk in love and a pure heart, that is. We glorify you for that in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.